let's just dedicate this time to the Lord and just ask God to confirm His word in our hearts. Father, we thank You that we can quiet our hearts before You to receive what You have for us this evening. We rejoice that we can belong to You and that we have a desire to hear Your word. You are a great and wonderful and glorious God, and we worship You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for just confirming Your word through the Holy Spirit in our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Credibility is something that we go very far to find these days. I think the world that we live in is tired of stories that are incredible. Everything from washing powder to weight loss programs, you name it. Just the last week, I've been receiving many emails, junk mails, how to lose weight easily. Losing weight easily is a fallacy. There is no easy way to lose weight. And yet, when you read the emails, then they say things like, you know what, this is so easy. It takes no effort on your part whatsoever. All you need to do is follow step 1 to step 10, and you will lose weight easily. All you need to do is buy this brand of washing powder, and you can put beetroot stains, blood stains, oil stains, the Lord knows what stains. You put it all in this washing machine, and one little, whatever you call it, of washing powder, it comes out as if it is brand spanking new. I want to speak to you this evening about credible witness. Credible witness. Now, if you look in the Oxford Dictionary, the word credible means believable, convincing, possible, and reasonable. And I'm speaking tonight about credible witness. Now, I want to start with a statement that may seem slightly controversial, but I want you to think about very carefully about what I am saying. The success of Satan leading people into deception and ultimately death is directly linked to the failure of the church to lead people to the truth and ultimately life. If you want to run, run now. Or otherwise, just hang in there with me. Okay? I want to read this statement again, and I want you just to think about what I'm saying. The success of Satan leading people into deception and ultimately death is directly linked to the failure of the church to lead people to the truth and ultimately life. Now, where have we gone wrong? Where is the church, the body of Christ? Why are we failing? Where have we gone wrong? You see, over the years, friends, we have made statements like this. All you need to do is give your life to Jesus and your troubles are over forever. And then we came with a prosperity gospel that said, all you need to do is to claim it. No, what? Frame it. Claim it. Name it. Name it. Frame it. Proclaim it. And claim it. And we told people who are struggling financially, all you need to do is to tithe. And you know what? Your financial troubles are over in that moment. And then people did what we said. They committed their lives to Christ. And suddenly they realized that life is carrying on. Despite the fact that my status in Christ has changed, life still carries on. I still struggle with illness. I still struggle with financial difficulty. I still struggle with marital issues and problems. You see, we've promised people a utopia here on earth where everything is just wonderful, and give your life to Christ and all your problems are over. And you see, through the years, we have preached an incredible word. We have been incredible witnesses. And I believe in my spirit, in my heart, I believe that in this time, God is calling His church to be credible witnesses. Calling His children to be credible witnesses. Because you know, with media as it is, everything is a hype. It doesn't matter what, whether it's rugby or idols or goodness knows what, everything is a hype. And you know what? What the world is looking for today is credibility. The message that we bring must be a credible message. It must be a believable message. It must be a convincing and a possible and a reasonable message. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. In the New Living Translation, Paul writes this and he says, "And you should imitate me as I imitate Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." The NIV says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Now this verse, now we know, all know, that there is nothing such as a standalone verse in the Bible. But this verse, if you read the verses preceding this verse and the verses afterwards, it almost looks like a freestanding verse. And as I read through the epistles of Paul, I became aware of something. You know, when you look at a wheel, there's an axle, okay? And then there's a bearing on the axle, and the whole wheel turns around the axle. And when I listen to what Paul says, it seems to me as though this verse is the axle around which everything that Paul says, everything that he believes, everything that he stands for, it all rotates around this. You should imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then he goes on and he writes to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 to 12, and he says this. He says, "So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of His call." What's he saying? That you will live a life that is credible. That you will live a life that is believable. That you will live a life that can be trusted. So Paul says, Thessalonians, I am praying for you that God will enable you to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. And then he continues, "Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with Him." And then he says this, "This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. What is Paul in his epistles, in his teaching, what is he not saying? I mean, to say what Paul says is quite a bold statement. He says, here I am Paul, and I am inviting you to imitate me as I also imitate Christ. It's a bold statement. What has the church said over the years? You know what? You shouldn't look at me. Because, you know what? I am just human. You shouldn't look at me. You must find grace to look beyond me, and you must look at Christ. And the world says, huh? Where is Christ? Where does he live? I'm exaggerating. Where does he live? Give me his address. Where is he teaching next time? Who is Christ? Where is Christ? And they don't get the message because it's not credible. We're using our inability to be credible as an excuse to ask people to look beyond our lives. Why am I here? Why are you here? It's simple. So that we can mirror the image of Christ to the world. That my passion for Christ can be so tangible that people will desire to be passionate about Christ the way I desire it. And that is why Paul says, but you see, I'm talking about credibility. If Paul were to say to these people that he's writing the epistles to, you know what, don't look at me. Just look beyond me. Look past me. You need to look to Christ. 90% of these people who come from heathen backgrounds, from idolatry, they would say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because Paul realizes that he needs to be credible. So what does he say? I urge you to imitate me just as I imitate Christ. What did he not say? Follow me or imitate me because I am perfect. It's not what he's saying. He's not saying, follow me because I am the second man to walk on earth who has no sin. He's not saying that. He's not saying, follow me because I will never make a mistake or a wrong decision. He's not saying that. He's not saying, follow me because I will never disappoint you. He's not saying that. On the contrary, Paul says of himself in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 and 18, he says, I don't really understand myself. The NLT again. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. What is this man saying? You know what? I am not some kind of superhuman being that is walking amongst you because I desire to do what is right, but I can't. My sinful nature is a constant companion to me. And no matter how hard I run, no matter how fast I run, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I fast, I cannot run or outrun my human nature. I cannot outrun my sinful man. So Paul is not giving a message to these people that he's writing to and saying, you know what, there's this pie in the sky sort of theology that, you know what, if you do this, you know, all you need to do is use this kind of washing powder and then everything is fine. Give your life to Jesus and all your troubles are over forever. You will never struggle again. You will never get sick again. You will never be poor again. He's not saying that. Because Paul understands something. That even in a world that he lived in, that is not so commercialized as our world, he didn't have internet. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have any of these things. But he realized that a message that preached that is not credible doesn't wash it. It's not good enough. As we read through the epistles of Paul, we see a clear message woven like a golden thread throughout all his writings. And as I read through the epistles, and I just read key verses from the epistles, then I just saw that, you know what, there's a golden thread that runs through this man's teaching. And he's saying, you know what, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. How sad would it have been if Paul had said, imitate me? Full stop. But he didn't say that. He said, imitate me, comma, just as I imitate Christ. What is he saying? It's about him, not about me. It's about his glory, not about mine. It's about his ability, not mine. So he's saying, imitate me, comma, as I, or just as I imitate Christ. You see, and to make a statement as bold as this one that Paul writes, Philippians 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, verse 21. We all know this verse very well. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So if this man says this, then some skeptic somewhere says, put your money where your mouth is. And then they catch him preaching. And they arrest him. And they beat him. And they grab him by the ear. And they say, we're going to let you go. But keep your mouth shut. Don't tell this story about Jesus anymore. And what does he do? The minute the door closes behind him, he says, Jesus is Lord. Come here. Let me tell you this story. Come. And he stands on top of the stairs and he says, come. I'm Paul. Let me tell you the story. Come. And behind the door are the very people that said, if you talk about this, and what happens to him? He gets thrown in prison. And they beat him again. And they put his feet in the blocks. And he's sitting in this foul, stinking, cold, dark place. And what does he do? Oh, you know what? This is what I get. I serve God. Preach his word. This is what I get. This is the thanks that I get. No. That's not what he does. What does he do? He starts singing praises to God in the middle of the night. When this man says, for me to live is Christ, he means for me to live is Christ. If you say it again, we'll kill you. And then he says, to die is gain. Because if you kill me here, I will be with him forever. So when this man writes this verse, and he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Credibility says he lives what he says. He lives what he says. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Paul writes this to the Ephesians, and he says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You know, people in those days and people in the life today, you know, we get beaten up from so many different angles about the things that we can't do. You know, I look at parents who rear children, who bring up children. And when, I almost said Sunny, this is an Engelse project. When Jenny gets home from school and says, Dad, I scored 85% for my maths test. What does Dad say? Why wasn't it 90? You know what? You're such a clever child. And if you just worked a little bit harder, then you could have scored 90 or maybe even 95. And we get beaten up from all these angles. And we made to believe that we're just never good enough. And when somebody goes off the rails, he sits down with somebody who tells him how bad he is. When someone falls into addiction, all his father ever talks about is, what a disappointment you are to this family. What a disappointment you are to me. When somebody struggles with some kind of a problem, what is the message that they hear over and over and over again? You will never change. You're a sad and sorry person. You will never change. And then Paul writes this to the Ephesians, and he says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none can boast about it. Do you know what Paul is saying? It doesn't matter that you messed up. It doesn't matter that you went astray. It doesn't matter that you never lived up to somebody's expectation. For it is by grace that you are saved. It is by grace that you are saved. And when you can sit with somebody who is struggling with drug addiction, when you sit with somebody who has never ever been good enough, no matter how well he or she has done, and you tell him, you know what, it's not about the bad things that you have done. It's not even about the good things that you have done. It is grace. Suddenly, our message becomes credible. Suddenly, somebody who is fundamentally bad in his heart says, do you know what? It doesn't matter that I am bad because his grace is enough for me too. Somebody who thinks he's so wonderful and thinks, oh, you know what? I'm so good and I'm so clever and I'm so this. Suddenly, he realizes, you know what? All of this means nothing because it is by grace that I am saved. And we can go to somebody today and we can say to him, you know what? It is by grace that you are saved. What does grace mean? Turn around, sir. Look 2,000 years back. And you'll find a dusty hill just outside of Jerusalem. What are you seeing on that dusty hill? Called Golgotha. I see three crosses. And in the middle is the Son of God, bleeding and dying for a sinful, sick, perverse world. And then a drop of blood drops from his hand into the dust of Golgotha. And the name on the drop is Dale. And then the next drop. And the name on the drop is Andre. And then the next. And the name on the drop is Cecilia. And on every drop, the word grace is written. So you take a man from a gutter and you tell him one of the drops that fell into the dust of Golgotha had your name on it. And suddenly our message becomes credible. We're not talking about how good he is or how bad he is. Our message is a message of grace. And what God is calling us to do is to preach a message, to speak a word, to live a life that is credible. Forget about the miracles. The miracles go anyway. Forget about all the huge stuff that happens. Do you know when the world will change, really change? When our failure will not contribute to the success of Satan, is when you and I get real. When you and I speak a message that is credible to the core. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. Paul writes this in 37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then you tell somebody who has been hurt, who has been abused, who has struggled throughout his or her life. You know what? Alles sal regkom. Jan Brandt het gesê, alles sal regkom. Het net nie gesê wanneer. Do you understand that? Everything will come right. Jan Brandt said, everything will come right. He just didn't say when. And then this hurt person, this hurting person looks at you and says, tell me something that I don't know. Tell me something that I've never heard before. Jan Brandt het gesê, alles sal regkom. Hy het net nie gesê wanneer. You see, that's a message that's not credible. It's a message that a hurting, dying person doesn't want to hear. But when Paul writes and he says, remember, imitate me as I imitate Christ, he says, you know what? There will be hardship. There will be all these things, and you can read it in Romans. And he says, but I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. When we can preach this message, I know what you're going through, or maybe I don't know what you're going through. And maybe you're hurting, maybe you're suffering, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're dying. But nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then you open the invitation and you say to him, will you accept Jesus into your life? And suddenly the credible message hits him in his heart and he says, you know what? I can believe in this Jesus. It's not about everything will be fine from here on in. But when I go through the hard times, when I do go through the valleys of life, when I do go through the shadow of the valley of death, the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with me. He will be with me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see, then the message is credible. And then people believe this message because it's not a pie in the sky, too good to be true kind of message, but it's a real message. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. How many people have you heard who say this thing? You know what? I'm so tired of life. I'm so tired of my life. My life and my circumstances are nauseating. I hate my life. In the years that I have been in ministry, I have heard people say that so many times, too many times that I can remember. But I have heard people say so many times, I despise the life that I am living. I despise every single day that I have to get up in the morning and just go through the same old thing again and again and again. And then you can say, oh, you know what? Maybe you should email Dr. Phil. And maybe Dr. Phil will be able to give you a few pointers on how you can improve your quality of life. Or maybe watch Oprah Winfrey show this afternoon. Maybe you can learn one or two things from Oprah Winfrey. I'm not being flippant. But when we can say to somebody, you know what? Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Do you know what? I can do nothing for you. I can give you a pep talk from now until tomorrow this time, but I can do nothing for you. But when Christ makes you new, you will be new indeed. When you find the truth will set you free. That's a credible message. That's a message that people want to hear. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. We all know this verse. Each time he said, Paul's got a thorn in his flesh, and he prays to God three times, and he says to God, please take the thorn in my flesh away. And each time he said, God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And then Paul writes and he says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. And I can continue speaking about the credibility of the message that he's preaching. Galatians 2 verse 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Philippians 4 verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have need. I am struggling. You know what? I don't have money in my wallet. I don't have money in my bank account to change your destiny. And I don't know how God will do it. But if you look at my Bible and you listen to the message that I preach, listen to what it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Kneel down with me. Pray with me. I can ask God to make a difference in your life, and our message becomes credible. And somebody says, I can believe the message. I can believe about this Christ that can supply all my need. Credible witness. Credible witness. And when Paul nears the end of his life, he writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, and he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Incredible witness. The life Paul lives, the banner that he carries, is not one of perfection, but one of grace. Not one of perfection, but one of grace. Listen to what I'm going to say now. I'll be another 5 minutes. The road to glory is not a free wheel, but a life of perseverance, dedication, and service. This is a credible message spoken by a credible witness. We can promise people the earth. We can tell them alles sal regkom. We can tell them you'll never have problems again. But we need to be credible witnesses for Christ. In closing, I want to take a step back to the Old Testament. Zechariah was a prophet who lived in the same time, or let me go one step back. Zechariah was born in captivity in Babylon in the 70 years of the Babylonian exile. Zechariah was born in that time. And he returned to Jerusalem, Zechariah did, together with Nehemiah, Ezra, and Zerubbabel. Trivia question. Who wrote Psalm 119? Is my still lieber julle nie? Ezra. Ezra. Go and read Psalm 119. How many times do we skip over Psalm 119 just because it has 153 verses or something? Go and read Psalm 119. And you'll actually hear the heart of a scribe. That's what he was. Ezra was a scribe. He spent his life rewriting the scrolls of the Old Testament. That was his job. Go and read Psalm 119. Okay. Zechariah was born in Babylon, captivity. He returned to Jerusalem together with Nehemiah, Ezra, and Zerubbabel. He ministered as a prophet during the rebuilding of the walls and the temple in Jerusalem. Now, in that time, Zechariah speaks out a prophecy. Now, I want you to listen to this prophecy. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20 to 23 in the New King James Version says, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord, and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is going to knock your socks off. Okay? Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 23, In those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. 10 men from every nation shall grab the sleeve of a Jewish man and say, Let me go with you because I have heard that God is with you. We all know, yeah, you're probably going to reveal your age now. Who of you remember Boney M? By the rivers of Babylon. You remember Christmas shopping? Where we sat down, oh, we wept. When we remember Zion. You know that song? That song is Psalm 137. Besides the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees. For our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while we are in a pagan land? Can you see this people sitting by the rivers of Babylon, weeping, and the Babylonians walking by, nudging him in the back and saying, sing us a song of Jerusalem. And then they say, we cannot sing songs of Jerusalem, our harps are hanging in the poplar trees. And was is he like a nootvas? So we can't sing a song of Jerusalem. They refuse to sing a song of Jerusalem. Why? Because this nation, they had no city, they had no temple, and they had no identity. 70 years took it away. But what about the prophecy? What about the prophecy? If I look at these Jewish people sitting next to the rivers of Babylon, crying, hanging their harps in a poplar tree, where is this going to happen? That somewhere along the line, 10 men are going to grab hold of a sleeve of a Jewish man and say, let me go with you because I have heard that God is with you. Go to Nehemiah and go to Ezra and just read how God restores the nation of Israel, how they build the wall, miraculously build a wall, how they miraculously build the temple, how they inaugurate the new temple. It is amazing. Go and read it. Ezra stands and he says, build a platform. For 70 years, these people have not heard God's word. You know what they do? They go and they dig out the scrolls. And they say to Ezra, here are the scrolls. You must read the word of God. And Ezra stands on a platform and he reads the word of God. And the Bible, go read it in the Bible. And they say, the Bible says that the people wept from the time the sun came up until the sun came down or went down when they heard the word of God being read. And the restoration that the word of God brings is amazing. Go and read it. We don't have time to go there now. When is this going to happen? You know what? I believe, or let me say this, the Jews are probably the most despised, ridiculed, persecuted nation on the face of the earth. All we need to do is to watch footage of the Second World War and the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were massacred, were murdered in cold blood. When is this going to happen? I firmly believe that this is a prophecy that goes way beyond the land of Israel and its people. I believe it with all my heart. This is prophecy for the people of God, for the chosen ones of God, saved by grace, living for Christ, their Savior and Redeemer and coming King. This has never happened. That prophecy has never happened. It's never happened. Do you know what? I believe that that prophecy is for the time that we are living in now. All Zechariah knew was the chosen land or the chosen people of Israel. That's all he knew. And for him it was about Jewish men and 10 people grabbing onto the sleeve of a Jewish man. But I believe that it's about 10 people grabbing onto the sleeve of a child of God who is living a credible life, who is speaking a credible message. Will it happen? I believe with all my heart it's going to happen, where people will run after us and say, I want to go with you because I know that God is with you. And in the world that we are living, for some reason we believe that the world doesn't want to hear our message. For some reason we believe that the world despises the message that we bring. And yet day after day after day after day, people faithfully bring this word and people are getting saved day after day after day. Do you know what the truth is? They want to hear our message. They want to hear about Christ. They want to hear about solutions to their grief and their problems and their illness and their struggles. Love God. Live Christ. Walk in the Spirit. We will see prophecy fulfilled if we heed the call of God to be credible witnesses, speaking the truth in love. Yanni said this morning at the AGM how much goodwill we as a church enjoy in Franschhoek at the moment. How many people who don't even belong to this church make finances available for projects that we do, because they believe in our message, they believe in what we're doing. They believe in the fact that we are being the hands and the feet and the mouth of Christ. They believe in it. Watch this. Watch the space. The time will come when 10 men will grab onto the sleeve of one child of God and say, I want to go with you because I know that God is with you. I really believe that in these end times we will see this prophecy fulfilled. Can I read it again? In those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. With boldness, you and I, with boldness and with conviction, say, imitate me. Just as I imitate Christ. What is the message that we bring? Let it not be a message that has no truth. Let it not be a message that contains all the hype that we need to live with and struggle through every day of our life. But preach the message true to God's word. Because it is only God's word that will change people's lives. Not what you and I can say, not what you and I can compose, or not what you and I can offer. But it is God's word that will change people's hearts and change people's lives. And the calling on my life and on your life that we, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, are called to walk worthy of, is to be credible witnesses for Christ. Father, thank you that we have opportunity to partner with you in this great work of the kingdom on earth. And we thank you, Lord, that we have your word that we can read and that we can put away in our hearts and that we can live by. Help us not to believe the lie that people don't want to hear the message that we bring. Help us not to get caught up in the hype of everyday life and try to say things that you have never said. Help us, Lord, not to pad the words of God to make it more accessible or to make it more attractive. But help us to be credible witnesses who will always speak the word of God, always speak the truth in love. And thank you, Lord, that we will see people's hearts and people's lives changed when we speak the truth in love. And thank you, Lord, that we can look ahead and see this prophecy fulfilled when people will grab onto our sleeves and say, we want to go with you because we know that God is with you. But we need your grace to be credible witnesses. And we thank you, Lord, that you give it to us in great measure. In Jesus' name. Amen.